No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill, and today is the third day of November. Welcome, everyone. It's a joy to be here with you. Truly an honor. We have read some very important words of Jesus over the weekend, describing once again what the kingdom of heaven is like. And I'm just going to tell you, if you haven't listened, you really should note. You might even have to listen and pause it to digest the words, simply because it goes so much against our societal norms. It goes against our selfishness. It goes against our need for being right and ego stroking. And hopefully, as we hear how we think it is so unfair, how people will get the same benefits as us, that we don't want those people to get the same benefits as us. It's very challenging to our theology, to our belief of who God is, to our knowledge, to our passed down knowledge. But this is why the Bible is so important for us to know God and to know His Word and to know Him through His Word for ourselves. So we continue in the Gospels today, and we may revisit some of those stories, and maybe we can talk a little bit more about them. Today, we're reading Mark chapter 11 and John chapter 12, and this week we are reading the Good News translation. Mark chapter 11. As they approached Jerusalem near the towns of Bethpage and Bethany, they came to the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of his disciples on ahead with these instructions. Go to the village there ahead of you. As soon as you get there, you will find a colt tied up that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if someone asks you why you are doing that, say that the master needs it and will send it back at once. So they went and found a colt out in the street, tied to the door of a house. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders asked them, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered just as Jesus had told them, and the crowd let them go. They brought the colt to Jesus, threw their cloaks over the animal, and Jesus got on. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches in the field and spread them on the road. The people who were in front and those who followed behind began to shout, "Praise God! God bless him who comes in the name of the Lord! God bless the coming kingdom of King David, our Father! Praise be to God!" Jesus entered Jerusalem, went into the temple, and looked around at everything. But since it was already late in the day, he went out to Bethany with the 12 disciples. The next day, as they were coming back from Bethany, Jesus was hungry. He saw in the distance a fig tree covered with leaves, so he went to see if he could find any figs on it. But when he came to it, he found only leaves, because it was not the right time for figs. Jesus said to the fig tree, "No one shall ever eat figs from you again." And his disciples heard him. When they arrived in Jerusalem, Jesus went to the temple and began to drive out all those who were buying and selling. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the stools of those who sold pigeons, and he would not let anyone carry anything through the temple courtyards. He then taught the people, "It is written in the scriptures that God said, 'My temple will be called a house of prayer for the people of all nations,' but you have turned it into a hideout for thieves." The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard of this, so they began looking for some way to kill Jesus. They were afraid of him because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. When evening came, Jesus and his disciples left the city. Early next morning, as they walked along the road, they saw the fig tree. It was dead all the way down to its roots. Peter remembered what had happened and said to Jesus, "Look, teacher, the fig tree you cursed has died." Jesus answered them, "Have faith in God. I assure you that whoever tells this hill to get up and throw itself in the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. For this reason I tell you, when you pray and ask for something, believe that you have received it, and you will be given whatever you ask for. And when you stand and pray, forgive anything you may have against anyone, so that your Father in heaven will forgive the wrongs you have done." They arrived once again in Jerusalem. As Jesus was walking in the temple, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders came to him and asked him, "What right do you have to do these things? Who gave you such right?" Jesus answered them, "I will ask you just one question, and if you give me an answer, I will tell you what right I have to do these things. Tell me, where did John's right to baptize come from? Was it from God or from human beings?" They started to argue among themselves. "What shall we say? If we answer from God, he will say, 'Why then did you not believe John?' But if we say from human beings..." They were afraid of the people because everyone was convinced that John had been a prophet. So their answer to Jesus was, "We don't know." Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you then by what right I do these things." John chapter 12. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus went to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. They prepared a dinner for him there, which Martha helped serve. Lazarus was one of those who were sitting at the table with Jesus. Then Mary took a whole pint of a very expensive perfume made of pure nard, poured it on Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The sweet smell of the perfume filled the whole house. One of Jesus' disciples, Judas Iscariot, the one who was going to betray him, said, "Why wasn't this perfume sold for 300 silver coins and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He carried the money bag and would help himself from it. But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Let her keep what she has for the day of my burial. You will always have poor people with you, but you will not always have me." A large number of people heard that Jesus was in Bethany, so they went there, not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from death. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus too, because on his account many Jews were rejecting them and believing in Jesus. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the Passover festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Praise God! God bless him who comes in the name of the Lord! God bless the King of Israel!" Jesus found a donkey and rode on it, just as the scripture says, "Do not be afraid, city of Zion. Here comes your king riding on a young donkey." His disciples did not understand this at the time, but when Jesus had been raised to glory, they remembered that the scripture said this about him and that they had done this for him. The people who had been with Jesus when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from death had reported what had happened. That was why the crowd met him, because they heard that he had performed this miracle. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, we are not succeeding at all. Look, the whole world is following him." Some Greeks were among those who had gone to Jerusalem to worship during the festival. They went to Philip. He was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and the two of them went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has not come for the Son of Man to receive great glory. I am telling you the truth. A grain of wheat remains no more than a single grain unless it is dropped into the ground and dies. If it does die, then it produces many grains. Those who love their own life will lose it. Those who hate their own life in this world will keep it for life eternal. Whoever wants to serve me must follow me, so that my servant will be with me where I am, and my Father will honor anyone who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Shall I say, Father, do not let this hour come upon me? But that is why I came, so that I might go through this hour of suffering. Father, bring glory to your name. Then a voice spoke from heaven, I have brought glory to it, and I will do so again. The crowd standing there heard the voice, and some of them said it was thunder, while others said, an angel spoke to him. But Jesus said to them, it was not for my sake that this voice spoke, but for yours. Now is the time for this world to be judged. Now the ruler of this world will be overthrown. When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to me. In saying this, he indicated the kind of death he was going to suffer. The crowd answered, our law tells us that the Messiah will live forever. How then can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? Jesus answered, the light will be among you a little longer. Continue on your way while you have the light, so that the darkness will not come upon you. For the one who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. Believe in the light, then, while you have it, so that you will be the people of the light. After Jesus said this, he went off and hid himself from them. Even though he had performed all these miracles in their presence, they did not believe in him, so that what the prophet Isaiah had said might come true. Lord, who believed the message we told? To whom did the Lord reveal his power? And so they were not able to believe, because Isaiah also said, God has blinded their eyes and closed their minds, so that their eyes would not see, and their minds would not understand, and they would not turn to me, says God, for me to heal them. Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Even then, many Jewish authorities believed in Jesus, but because of the Pharisees, they did not talk about it openly, so as not to be expelled from the synagogue. They loved human approval rather than the approval of God. Jesus said in a loud voice, whoever believes in me believes not only in me, but also in him who sent me. Whoever sees me also sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that everyone who believes in me should not remain in the darkness. If people hear my message and do not obey it, I will not judge them. I came not to judge the world, but to save it. Those who reject me and do not accept my message have one who will judge them. The words I have spoken will be their judge on the last day. This is true, because I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has commanded me what I must say and speak. And I know that his command brings eternal life. What I say then is what the Father has told me to say. Okay, let's just touch on a few points today real quickly for relevance. We have to understand what's happening here. Jesus instructs the disciples to go get him a donkey that has never been ridden before. Why is this significant? Well, the coming Messiah, the coming King, that is to save them, is more than likely not going to show up riding on a donkey. A donkey being a very lowly way for someone in power and position to show up riding. And so this takes the disciples back just a little bit. Like, why are we going to get this donkey? This speaks to the servanthood of Jesus. Remember, we read, for even I, the Son of Man, did not come to be served, but to serve and to lay his life down as a ransom. The disciples couldn't have got it any more than we don't get it, because they're still asking questions. Then let's move to the book of John, where Jesus is anointed by Mary. with expensive perfume. She performs just a very intimate act of worship. I can imagine that people in the room were slightly uncomfortable with a woman pouring perfume on Jesus' feet and wiping his feet with her hair. And of course, the heart of Judas is revealed. He's dipping into the money bag as he's the treasurer. And he's like, we could have taken this and made more money so that I could have more money. And Jesus defends this act of worship from Mary. And this would be quite scandalous for a woman to touch a man. This was not something that happened in this society. And it's such a beautiful picture that she takes something that has to be of value, something that cost her something. And it cost apparently a great deal of money then. And she's willing to take that thing which cost a lot and pour it out on Jesus as an act of worship. Jesus defends her. Leave her alone. You will always have the poor. There will be a time for you to take care of the poor, but I will not always be with you. And still they didn't quite get it. Then I want to talk about Jesus overlooking the city of Jerusalem and offering once again this very human emotion of weeping over the city. I had a dream about this several months back, and I felt that I finally understood what was happening here. Jesus stood over the city that was supposed to be in perfect covenant with God, where he would be their God, they would be their people if they just turned. They had everything that God promised them, and they turned their back. And Jesus comes to offer his own self by way of John the Baptist, who prepared the way for the Lord to receive the good news. Jesus comes, the healer of their broken hearts, broken, hardened, stubborn. He came as both fully God and fully man. He came in the flesh himself to say, repent. Do not go this way. I am here to tell you to repent and turn. And they still did not get it. And the religious, the ones that were the most educated, seems to have gotten it the least. And they had the power and they had the influence to tell others, this is the Messiah. We have to turn and repent. This is God in the flesh. And yet they refused. They doubled down. They hardened their hearts even more. It's such a picture of the ache from the heart of the one who can save and offers a choice and knows that he is openly rejected by the ones that he loves. And yet they claim to know and to love God. Do we get this yet? We have got to get this message. Jesus, thank you for how you came. Thank you for how you come for us. You come to our brokenness as the healer of our broken hearts. Broken is sometimes hardened, and you cannot get to the brokenness because of the exterior of the walls that we have built up with our prayers. pride crumble. May our pride crumble. May we surrender to you that which only you can do to heal us from the inside out. But we have to surrender our pride and come and admit that we are in need of repair. May we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, so that in due time, you will lift us up. I pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.